Attention, screw ups.
Hey!
Imperfect people.
Dude, come on.
And recovering underachievers.
Guilty.
Good for you.
What exactly does that mean?
We're all guilty, but you're honest enough to own it, so you can do something about it. Now, if you're ready to stop slacking, quit quitting, and find what it takes to get back up every time you fall, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Mud Movement's More Than Mudcast.
What are we waiting for? Let's do it.
A show about overcoming obstacles on the course and in life.
Well, I get it. It's very clever.
Hear people from within and outside of the OCR community share extraordinary stories of perseverance and success.
Is that it? Is that all you got?
We also have fun, goof off, and laugh at our own mistakes.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Get ready for a different type of OCR experience, the More Than Mudcast.
So what are you saying?
It's not a podcast.
Do you ever feel it doesn't matter how hard you try, you're going to screw something up? Hey guys, welcome to the More Than Mudcast. Coley here, and I wanted to get all of the athlete bios right on the first two episodes. And so, I was listing Alexandra Walker's accomplishments. And I listed first place at this race, first place at that race, first. She won this, she won that. You know, really shining some praise on her. And I just happened to mention that she got third at one of the Spartan Beasts. She hits me up with, I got second. And I was like, oh man, I'm sorry. I think Athlinks got it wrong. What? She goes and checks Athlinks. All right, Athlinks didn't get it wrong. I just can't read, okay? I'm sorry, Alex. Seriously though, she took it pretty well. I think she was just messing with me. Other than that, no real complaints about the show so far, other than my own critique. And you know how it is. We're all our own worst critic. I can find a billion things I wish I would have done better. One thing that I'm learning to deal with is I wish my voice was more interesting, you know? And I'm not fishing for compliments. I'm not saying I have a bad voice. I just wish it was more interesting, more distinct. Like, I don't know if you know Scott Farrell from CBS Sports Radio. He has that Farrell on the Bench show. And the guy sounds like he's on the waiting list for a tracheotomy. I mean, it's a rough, grindy, yet whiny voice. He'll say, Farrell on the Bench with my man Mafia. Bet on my picks and I can make you money. I'm Vegas' worst nightmare when it comes to sports betting, especially after I cleaned up last week. Nobody hits numbers like me. Everyone else sucks.
I mean, it is murder to listen to. And, like, you know, I had to listen in doses so my ears don't start bleeding. But at least it's memorable, you know? He leaves an impression. So, you know, I was going to try and do the whole show doing my best Scott Farrell. Like,
welcome to More Than Mudcast with Coley, giving you the rundown on everything obstacle course racing. Of course, the biggest obstacle is listening to this voice without driving off a bridge or into a cement wall. Which, by the way, if you swallowed enough cement, you can talk like this, too.
I can't do it. You're just going to have to put up with my normal voice. I'm sorry. I tried. Luckily, you won't only hear me during today's show, because I have some friends lined up to help tell the story of the inaugural United States OCR Championships. They were held in Mountain Home, Texas over Labor Day weekend, and they were amazing. I'm still living on that high. I'm going to share my highs and lows of the weekend and have some others weigh in too, including Adrian Bigenata, Laura Messner, Hunter McIntyre, Kevin Gelati, Benny Gifford, Nicole Miracle, Bubbles the Clown, and more. All that's coming up. But first, the need to know. As Houston attempts to recover from Harvey, Hurricanes Irma and Jose still taking their toll on the states of Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina. Florida-based Savage Race posted pictures of their Florida obstacles still standing tall after being hit with 90-mile-per-hour sustained winds. The next Florida OCR we see on the calendar is the Parkland, Florida Soldier Run set for September 23rd. No indication right now how that event will be affected. There are six Florida races on the books for October, including Tough Mudder. Meanwhile, there are no immediate races scheduled in Houston, only Savage Race at the end of October and Tough Mudder in November. Mud Run Guide and OCR World Championships announced the finalists for the 2017 For Those Who Would OCR Humanitarian Award. The four finalists are Melissa Dugan, Patty Gregg, Joey McLemore, and Paul Tenhaken. I hope I said that right. Details about the honor and community voting is open through September 17th at mudrunguide.com. Finally, congratulations to the pro and age group winners at the U.S. OCR Championships. The winners in the men's pro division of Saturday's 3K were 5th place Ryan Woods, Air Force Ken Corigliano, Mark Batrice was in 3rd, 2nd place Robert Killian, and 1st place Hunter McIntyre. For the women, 5th place Tiffany Palmer, Kristen Sad was in 4th place, Julie Hardy is 3rd, Corinna Coffin in 2nd, and Nicole Miracle won the 3K. Then the pros in Sunday's 15K, a lot of the same names, but in slightly different order. For the women, we had Tiffany Palmer in 5th place, Julie Hardy is in 4th, Kristen Sad in 3rd, Rhea Coble came in 2nd, and once again, 1st place, Nicole Miracle.
For the men, Kirk DeWitt was fifth. Fourth place, Ryan Woods. Robert Killian came in third with Mark Patrese in second. And once again, Hunter McIntyre winning the race.
Why run it, jump it, carry it, climb it, or crawl under it? Because it's there. You're listening to the More Than Mudcast with Coley.
So my trip to Mountain Home, Texas for the USOCR Championships began on the Friday of Labor Day weekend, the same way most of my OCR adventures do, running late and scrambling to get done what I should have already finished. In this case, I needed to call Debbie at the YO Ranch there in Mountain Home to beg for the gate code. See, it was stated very clearly in the email to everyone staying on location that we would need to contact Debbie and get the gate code no less than 24 hours before arriving. Well, I was 6.5 hours away before I remembered that little tidbit, so crap, I screwed up. Fortunately, Debbie was a good sport, and she gave me the code, so I had what I needed, I was on my way. Now, I hadn't left as early as I'd hoped, so if everything went right, I'd be pulling onto the ranch around 9:30. And let's face it, everything never goes right, so needless to say, I was dreading this drive. Plus, I was a little emotional about some things that had been going on, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. And I just needed a distraction. Let me tell you, if you've got a long road trip, nothing is better than listening to podcasts. And I listen to a few OCR podcasts. You might want to check them out. Of course, Obstacle Racing Media with Matt B. Davis, Obstacle Order with Philip and Elijah. Then you have Obstacle Dominator with Hunter McIntyre, Ben Greenfield, Rose Wetzel. They kind of share responsibilities. You'll seldom hear all three of them, but usually one or two. Then there's Strength and Speed with Brenna Calvert and Evan Preparis. And finally, Link Endurance with Coach Mo, Morris Brozette, and Miles Keller. And I know what you're thinking. Do I really listen to all of these podcasts? Yes, I do, whenever I can. I could tell you what makes each one of them unique and worthwhile in their own way. Maybe we'll do that another day. Point is, I had some audio to get me through this 6.5 hour drive from the Red River. Now, Debbie at the ranch had warned in her emails that the GPS would very likely send us to the wrong location, miles from the YO ranch where we were staying. So she provided some directions for folks coming from Austin, and then another set of directions for anyone coming in from the San Antonio area. The only problem was I wasn't coming from either of those directions. I was traveling south from Dallas, so and I figured, well, I'll just use my GPS until it gets me to a road listed on the emailed instructions, and then I would just use that. Well, guess what? It never happened. The GPS took me to Highway 83, which was never mentioned on any of the instructions that were provided. And so I just rolled the dice to see where my GPS would take me if I just, followed its direction all the way through. Well, sure enough, the wrong ranch on the wrong road. And this is about 9:30 at night, very dark and very few cars on the road where I'm at. And at this point, I know I should almost be there because I've been driving over 6 hours. I did fill up for gas earlier, but I haven't seen a gas station in a while. And there's all this talk about gas shortages due to hurricane panic. So I don't know where I'm going. I don't know if I have enough gas to get there. I don't know if I'll find a gas station on the way. And if I do, I don't know that they'll even have gas. But hey, I love an adventure. So I figured I'll check the GPS map to see where I'm at and then, just simply zoom out to find the nearest gas station or, if I'm lucky, a road or town listed on the emailed directions. That's when I received the only two words that could have escalated this mild dilemma into a full-blown crisis.
Service unavailable.
Yeah, my cell phone, my guide, my crutch was basically saying, you're on your own. And so what did I do? Well, the only thing I could do, I prayed. Yeah, I did the, God, I need you to get me out of this. You know what I've been stressed out about? And now I'm lost without a clue where to go. So I'm going to drive and I just need you to keep me safe. And that's what I did. I drove and 20 minutes away from the wrong ranch on the wrong road, I found one of the roads that was listed on the email. And I followed it to the ranch and rolled in at 10:15 with a half a tank of gas. Now, I don't know about you, but at 10:15 at night, after driving for 6.5 hours, there is nothing I like to do more than almost blindly set up my tent. That's what I did. I set up my tent and tried to keep the noise down because there was one tent in the general vicinity, not too close. Well, once I got everything set up, I noticed there was a little covered campfire down the way with a few folks hanging out. So I went and introduced myself. Let's see, I met Danny and Nathaniel and I think her name was Judy. I don't know, I may have completely made that up. Anyway, we all chatted for a bit. I shared some of the watermelon I had brought in my cooler and called it a night around midnight. And that's the cool thing. I didn't know these folks from Adam, but we had one thing in common. A love for OCR. That common ground was an instant icebreaker. You know, even if we didn't have anything else in common, our love for the sport just made it a super chill experience. Even though I had just driven 6.5 hours, even though I had a little bit of a freak out moment back when I was lost, even though I felt kind of funky and needed a shower and was about to sleep all night in a tent with no sheets or blankets, did I mention I wasn't very prepared? And then there's that other thing. See, the reason I had been stressed, the reason I was emotional and needed a distraction, the reason I left town later than expected is because I needed to check on my dad. My dad was diagnosed with leukemia recently, and that, on top of some severe damage to his lungs from years of bad decisions, well, the doctor gave him about 6 months to live. And so even though he absolutely insisted on me going, there was this huge guilt of leaving him to go film and run a race. And so, you know, you put all that together, and it could have made for a really rough weekend, but no. Between making these new friends who shared my love for OCR and seeing God answer prayers, not to mention having a front row view of the most stars he could have possibly shoved in a Texas sky, I don't know. I just knew I was where I needed to be.
It's more than mud. It's a movement. The More Than Mudcast.
Saturday was a day of 3Ks, first with the pros and then age groups. That's when we first ran into Laura Messner. Laura sang the national anthem both days, did a beautiful job, and she was a lot of fun to goof off with on our recap video if you saw that. But yeah, we talked a little bit about the race.
The U.S. Championship, great. Very fast pace. Exactly what I love. Obstacles, strong. I got a little bit of a callus going on, but it's all right. About to go head off to see my results now, which I'm hoping made podium. So wish me some luck. And again, great, great venue, great people, great race. Ready for tomorrow too.
We also ran into one of Laura's teammates from Spartan's Ultimate Team Challenge on NBC. And actually, Kevin Gelati was the team captain on the show. Well, this was the Mud Movement's first time to meet Kevin, and just a really nice guy. Here's Kevin talking about the 3K race.
Yeah, I felt awesome on the beginning. I wanted to not go like all out, but you get caught up in the moment. I stayed with the guy and then started to pull ahead of him, but I think I made a mistake and still went a little bit too hard. But no problem with the obstacles, cleaned everything. It was awesome to have so many rigs because it's so different than what we typically race. Everything's heavy carries, and it's nice to have a course where you can use a lot of skill-based obstacles like this and then not just get hammered and have to carry like 150 pounds and prove you can carry 150 pounds. That gets kind of old after a while, so it's nice to break it up with so much skill and you're constantly able to move.
How do you think they did on cardio amount in just in a short 3K?
Yeah, oh listen, if you didn't tap your cardio, it's because you weren't racing. Because don't think a 3K can't thrash your cardio. It's just all you're doing to change the difference is speed. So you'll talk to a lot of guys, including myself, who've been racing so long. Sometimes these short races are harder than really long races because there is no time to really like relax and lower your heart rate. It's constant go, 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 go. And so it's, you'll still tap your heart rate. I mean, in 3K, I was still plenty gas by the time I got done.
By the way, that was my Mud Movement partner, Ryan, you heard asking Kevin a question. And yeah, he talked about getting caught up in the hype and starting a little faster than he intended. Man, that is hard not to do when Coach Payne is getting you amped up at the starting line. Really cool to have him there. You know, I also like Kevin's point of not treating the 3K like it's kids' play just because it's the shorter course. And that kind of previews my biggest regret of the weekend. I'll tell you about that in a minute. First, let's hear Sheena Faulkner-Hardy talk about the race. Now, remember, everyone racing started out wearing a wristband. If you felt an obstacle, you had the opportunity to retry it, maybe multiple times. But if you give up on an obstacle, or if you've spent too long at a given obstacle and are asked to move along, the monitors cut your bracelet to show that you're no longer running a clean, unbroken race. Well, sure enough, we looked at Sheena's wrist.
I still got my band. Still got it. I almost lost it on the Battle Frog rig, where you cross the beam, you have rope, and then you have kind of like a cliffhanger, and then a bar, and then you have a ring, but then the trick is you have to go up to another ring, and it probably took me about 10 minutes. I dropped so many times, finally dropped to the ground. I prayed to Jesus, please God, get me through this. Finally, got on through.
Man, I love Sheena. And she's a tough chick, too. We saw her win Warrior Dash in Oklahoma City, and I know she's won Savage Races and podiumed at CTG. And I know the rig that Sheena's talking about there. It's the rig on which I immediately tore my hands up. Got some gnarly-looking blisters on it. But that's not my regret. I mean, that's part of the experience. No, my biggest regret of the weekend is that after three attempts on the rig, I gave up. Yeah, I let him cut my band. In fact, it was our friend Tracy from Conquer the Gauntlet. He was the one working the obstacle, and he tried to talk me out of it. He's like, man, don't give up. But it was too late, and yeah, I had made up my mind. And I kid you not, I instantly regretted it. I'm still regretting it. In fact, let's take a step back for a minute. I want to explain why I quit that event. Before I do, we have to get on the same page about something. An explanation is not the same as an excuse. All right, words have meaning, okay? And an excuse is a reason or explanation put forward to defend or justify a fault or offense. Well, I'm telling you now, that's not what I'm doing. I'm not trying to defend or justify or, you know, excuse giving up. I can't justify it. I can't defend it. And it is inexcusable. But I still want to explain the stupidity that was going on in my head so that those who can relate to it don't feel alone. You know, or maybe it'll keep someone from making the same stupid mistake. Again, there's a difference from an excuse and an explanation. And I feel the need to point that out because I've heard some people mixing up the two. Specifically, I'm thinking of Hunter McIntyre in response to Robert Killian. Now, as far as I can tell, Killian offered an explanation as to why he didn't perform better at the USOCR. And Hunter interpreted that as, this is why I didn't win. And he called him out and he told him to stop making excuses. Well, I don't know Robert Killian's intentions with his explanation. If he was trying to offer an excuse to diminish or lessen Hunter's win, well, yeah, that's unfortunate and disappointing. But if he's just saying, hey, here's why I lost, here's where I fell short, you were the better racer today because of this, well, you know, that's not an excuse, it's an explanation. And it's stupid if nobody's allowed to do that much. You know, to say this is what happened. Like, what if I said, man, I suck today. My cardio isn't where it needs to be. Well, is that an excuse? Of course not. Nobody's dumb enough to say, please excuse my performance. I have poor cardio. No, if anything, it's an admission of guilt. It's saying, I have no excuse. My cardio sucks. So anyway, again, I know what I did wrong. So it's not an excuse. I did something wrong. And now I'm the one living with the regret. Here's what's up. My buddy Ryan and I run these races together, and we always move from one obstacle to the next together. Well, during the 3K, I felt really good about my pace, and I was, you know, actually surprising myself with how well I was doing on some obstacles that I had never even seen before, much less had my hands on. So we're on one of the few shaded obstacles, Skull Valley, and actually it's kind of a collection of obstacles. It's part rig with handholds and ropes onto a ladder climb onto a platform where you then jump a high gap onto the top of a cargo net and then roll or climb down. So it was during this whole little setup that I lost all track of my partner, Ryan. You know, I was focused on the obstacles. And guess what? To my surprise, I did the rig and the skull handholds without failing. I climbed on top of the platform, and that's when I realized how exhausted I was. Seriously. And when you're that exhausted, that gap that you have to jump, you know, which is probably only 6 foot, maybe 8 feet. But when you're that tired and you're, you know, you're up high like that, you think you're jumping across the Grand Canyon. And I'm not the only one on this platform waiting to jump. There's two other guys up there with me. We're all wondering who's going to be dumb enough to jump to their death first. Well, even though I had no energy whatsoever, because yes, my cardio does suck, I did jump. And I know what you're thinking, but you're wrong. I made the jump just fine and got through Skull Valley with no problem. Here's the thing. I was so tired at this point that I then just sat there for what, you know, seemed like an eternity. It took me forever to catch my breath. Now, again, Ryan is nowhere to be found. And so I figured, okay, he got tired of waiting. He went on without me. That's fine. Good for him. I don't want him to wait for me. Anyway, I finally found my breath and got going again. The next obstacle was, walking on a pole in water while holding a pole overhead. I can't think of the name. It's from Savage Race. But no big deal. It wasn't tough. And then I think there was a wall and a hoist. All was good. Finally, I get to this old Battle Frog rig. And it involves a little bit of balance, then it's monkeying across a pole and then some rings. And yeah, halfway through the rig, you're hanging from a lower ring and you have to reach to a higher ring. Now, if you don't have any momentum at this point, the only way you're going to reach that high ring is to bang out the biceps and pull yourself up a bit. Well, I'll be honest, I never have much pull-up strength. And by this point, I had nothing. Notice, that's not an excuse. I'm here calling myself a weakling, and anyone who interprets that as an excuse rather than an explanation is insane. But yeah, I lose my grip, and I fall. So I try it again. Fall at the exact same spot. Now, in these two tries, my hands went from perfectly fine to bloody with hunks of skin hanging off. Seriously, just two tries did that. And yeah, it hurts a little, but even more, my pride is hurting. I'm thinking, man, Ryan's probably already done. I took forever recovering from Skull Valley. Now I've already spent a lot of time on this obstacle. And this is what I'm saying to myself. Again, the other volunteers on the obstacle are awesome. They're encouraging me to stick with it, but all I can hear is my own voice. Man, I suck. A 3K shouldn't take this long. I'm pathetic. Ryan's probably waiting for me at the finish line. We're supposed to be filming by now. I should be already done and filming others. So I decide, okay, one more time. I catch my breath, and I make it to that same ring with a little more momentum, and this time I get my hand on that second ring, you know, the one I've been missing. I get a hold of it, and then I slip off. So there's three tries, three fails, I was done. Again, they're saying, no, do it again, but I had already given up. Here's the thing, and I don't mean to make this more dramatic than it has to be, but you know, that's the beauty of this sport. It makes you take a long look at yourself and ask, why did I fail? Or, you know, in my case, why did I give up? Seriously, so what if it's been three tries? Why didn't I catch my breath, stretch out my arms and shoulders a bit, and commit myself to getting the job done? Or as Coach Payne says, conducting my business. Why didn't I stick with it? I really do think a lot of it's that old adage, run your own race, you know? Here I was worried that Ryan was waiting on me, or that I should be done by now. Others are done. I'm better off just moving on so I can get off the course, rather than spending more time on an obstacle I'll probably keep failing. Guys, this is the crap that goes through my head, and I hate it. So, I give up my bracelet, and I go to the next obstacles, which require the same strength and motion as the obstacle I just gave up on. But this time, I passed them. Now, I want to thank Miles Keller here, because he encouraged me and told me some strategy going in as to, you know, the best way to approach the obstacles. But, yeah, I got through them fine. No real problem. Finally, I make it to the floating walls, which we'll talk about in a bit, but, you know, it's like a traverse wall suspended on chains, I guess, you know, so moving a little while you're on it. Well, I've sucked on the traverse walls many a times. I just don't feel flexible enough to spread out like I need to. So that, plus the fact that I'm exhausted, you know, I've pretty much given up before I even attempted it. And I guess Miles saw it on my face because he yelled at me to come over to the fence and, you know, he showed me how to stretch my wrists and forearms, and I went for it. You know, it was a slow process, but I made it through the lower level. Well, then you climb up the cargo net where you have to do the same thing on a second level. And man, I just rested forever and ever to regain my composure. I got on the walls, made it a little past the midsection. So it was either the second wall of three or the third of four there on the top half. And I slipped off. And the guys working the obstacle were awesome. They said, man, you were so close. You can do it this time. But doing it again would involve coming down to the ground, going across the walls again, you know, the ones on the lower level, climbing to the upper level again, and then crossing those walls. And yeah, if I rested long enough, I know I could have done it. But all I kept thinking was, what's the point? You've already given up your band. And so, instead of going back and trying again, I just pressed on, down the cargo net, and across the finish line. I enjoyed the course, I was glad to be done, but, you know, I knew I didn't give it my all. So I share this story with you offering no excuses, only an explanation that there's more quit in me than I realized. And that, you know, at least on this weekend, I had neither the physical or mental strength of most of the athletes I meet at every race. I don't know, maybe I'm being hard on myself, but owning your stuff is the only way to get better. And that's one good thing that came out of all this. Well, two things. First of all, I really did have a blast. But second, even though I'm disappointed in myself for giving up, I'm encouraged by the fact that I do expect more from myself, and that next time, I'm not done till the job is done. In fact, I was given my cut bracelet as a reminder to not let it happen again. Oh, interesting note, my buddy Ryan wasn't ahead of me. When I lost him back in Skull Valley, it's not because he had moved on while I was recovering. He had failed the obstacle and was in line to do it again. So I put all of that unnecessary pressure on me and killed myself with a barrage of subconscious verbal abuse, all while chasing my running partner, who was behind me. You gotta run your own race.
Everyone runs for a reason. What's yours? Tell us your story at themudmovement.com.
The Mud Movement met Josh White at a previous race he had won, so it was cool to see Josh and his brother James running the 15K together. Josh, how'd it go?
Yes, it worked really good. It's my brother James, he took first, and I got second in our age division, so it went really well.
Now, you guys run together as often as you can, right?
Well, we try to, and in races-wise, as far as training, we live a little ways apart, so it's not always that. It's just a phone call away.
Sure, but you do hook up to run some races together whenever you can, though.
Absolutely.
So what's that like? Do you guys push each other out loud, or is it just kind of a subconscious understanding of, hey, let's get this done?
You know, a little bit of both. I mean, it just depends on the races, but you know, either he's feeling good or I'm feeling good, and so we're always just feeding off each other the whole time. Sometimes we kind of know, you know, without saying anything, if someone's struggling, you know, we can feel it. And so usually we're like, hey, why get up here, you know, or you know, how you doing, let's go.
You know, I know his training and he knows mine, and we know we're both capable of being pretty equal. And so, even so, there's no hard feelings at all, you know, so it's kind of, let's go out there and do what we can, and we shouldn't have anything left at the finish, that's for sure.
See, and that's the attitude I'm talking about. That's what I need to develop. Give it your all, the eye of the tiger, I don't know what you call it, but it's essential to everyone who's on top. In fact, I really want everyone to meet Brandon Knoll. And yes, a lot of Oklahoma and Texas folks already know him, but we love Brandon for a couple of reasons. First of all, when we had our big Faith event earlier this year before the stadium race in Dallas, a lot of people watched it online in the weeks following the event, but only a couple actually came to watch the event live. Well, Brandon was one of those guys, so Ryan and I became grateful fans of Brandon early on. But also, when it comes to OCR, there's probably no other person who we have watched grow so much in this last year than Brandon. So we're really happy for him. Brandon, tell us a little bit about your year.
Well, my goal of the year was to qualify for the World Championship. That was the number one goal, was to qualify. I went out and did a couple races. I didn't hit my qualifications, so I amped up my training a little bit. I knew if I was going to get this goal, I'm going to have to put in the work. So I built a little obstacles at my house, some pegboards, some pull-up bars, and a big key was I would travel from Oklahoma down to Dallas almost every other weekend and go to Obstacle Warriors and train with Mo Morris, Miles Keller. Then they put me through it. They didn't let me slack off. They knew my goal and they were gonna make me get my goal. And they did. I qualified at least three times for Worlds this year.
That's awesome. Well, I love how you just decided to build the obstacles you need to work on, right? Was it one of the CTG obstacles?
Yeah, Conquer the Gauntlet. Tough race, very tough race. I kept failing Pegatron. Did two races, failed it twice. I finally built one in my backyard, had 2 months till my next Conquer the Gauntlet. Almost every day out there, practicing, dead hanging, doing whatever I could. Toss the Conquer the Gauntlet came up last month. Breezed through Pegatron with not a problem. Didn't have to repeat it. People were looking at me saying, look how easy he's making it. I'm like, all you have to do is put in the work. You can do it if you put in the work.
And Brandon lives in Oklahoma, where there aren't a lot of obstacle gyms. There's the CTG gym in Tulsa, Conquer the Fitness. There's a gym in Ardmore. And now, Brandon, you just recently announced that you bought a gym and are developing it for OCR, right?
Yeah, I actually took over the gym on September 1st. OCR is my passion. I want to bring it to everybody I can. I want to show them that they can do this sport. It may not be for competitive reasons. It's just to go out there and compete with yourself. Kind of push yourself, challenge yourself. When you come over an obstacle, that feeling when you beat that obstacle, it's amazing. So I want to bring that to as many people as I can.
Very cool. So what about during this USOCR weekend? What obstacles stood out to you?
I got to see a lot of obstacles I haven't got to see. One of the harder ones was yoke carry. Had a big old beam across your back with two bags of rocks hanging off each side. Take it straight up a hill, straight down a hill. It was brutal. You got to see a lot of people trying different techniques. They would hold the bags with their hands to keep them from swaying. Some had them hands up there kind of like you were going to do a squat. Some had it on one. I mean, it was just trying to figure out which way worked best for you. Another one that was really good was this Indian mud run floating walls. It's a nice challenge right there at the end. Those walls kill your forearms as you're going across. But that feeling when you grab that ring, you know you're done.
Yeah, I talked about it briefly, but it's called Floating Walls from Indian Mud Run. That's Hubie Cushman's race. And Hubie, tell us about the obstacle.
The Floating Walls is an idea that we came up with at the Indian Mud Run a couple of years ago. Originally, it was over water, over a canal, on cables strung from tree to tree. And we were asked to bring it to the World Championships last year. They did not want it over water, so we came up with a steel rig last year. And as you can see, we've gotten away from the steel, gone to the all aluminum, and as it's evolved, I'm extremely happy with what we have today in our newest version of Floating Walls.
Well, it was a crowd favorite for sure. Some other folks we just had to talk to at the race, Kevin Gregory, a.k.a. Bubbles the Clown.
So today, it was not as hot as yesterday, and I didn't have to push as hard because I had a little more time to catch up to the fast guys. But overall, it's a great course. A lot of running to start off like yesterday, but it was longer, so the obstacles were more spread out. And then the big The big surprise obstacle that put me where I finished was the yoke carry. I heard they shortened it, so I probably would have won the whole race if it was longer. But we had to carry this log that had a couple bags of sand tied to each side and dangling, and that's where I just ran and passed everybody. And then we had to run up a ridge and do some other stuff, and then we did the gauntlet again. Overall, had a good time down here. It's not too hot. I'm about to go volunteer, so hopefully I don't get cooked.
We also talked, of course, to Hunter McIntyre, who won the pro heats of both the 3K and the 15K.
Honestly, it's cool when you bring an event like this to Texas because, you know, I think our sport's all built around big mountain races. I think this is a different and dynamic way of really challenging the athletes. It's, you know, Texas country, long, crazy runs out there in the desert. A lot of fun, a lot of hard work.
You know, I've heard Hunter talk before about how much he prefers the short course to the long course. It'd be one thing if he couldn't handle the longer runs, but we know he can because he wins. More so, Hunter has made the point before that it's so much more exciting for the spectators, which I think there's a lot of truth in that. Finally, we have Benny Gifford talking about the significance of the United States OCR Championships.
So this is a really big deal. It's their first event, but, you know, everybody always talks about Spartans going for the Olympics. And then we came out with a world championship. First you qualify regional, then you qualify state, then you qualify nationals, then you go to the worlds, then maybe you do Olympics. And they're piecing it all together because right now we're all over the place. So it's a great freaking idea. I think this will be a good launching pad for who is allowed to compete in the professional wave of the world championships. You have to place a certain way here to be able to compete in a certain wave at world championships. I think it's a fantastic launching board for all the other platforms.
Whatever doesn't kill us, better run. The More Than Mudcast.
We're going to end with a few words for the man heading up this USOCR championship, Adrian Bijanata, coming up. First, I want to spend a little time with someone who I just couldn't seem to catch up with during the race weekend. And, well, apparently nobody else could either, because Nicole Miracle won both pro events handedly. First, Nicole, I know you have family and friends in the Houston and Woodlands area. Is everyone all right?
My family's fine. Their house was not affected in the Woodlands. I have a lot of friends that live in Houston, and as far as I know, everyone is pretty much okay. But yeah, Houston was pretty devastated, and that's where I went. I went to school in Houston, so I still know tons of people there.
Yeah, you went to Rice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, we're still praying for Houston and now Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, just everyone affected by the hurricane. So let's talk about the race. You're all rested and recovered, right?
Pretty much. I suffered a little blow throughout my left leg, so that's still a little swollen.
Now, is that an old injury?
No, I was like swinging on the rig and I somehow swung into one of the metal beams. So,
well, congratulations on winning both the 3K and the 15K. Do you go into both races with the same confidence, or were you kind of focused on the longer race and the short was just kind of the cherry on top?
You know, I have not raced anything under 5 miles in a few years, I would say. So the 3K was definitely kind of unexpected. Well, maybe not unexpected, but I wasn't quite sure what to expect out of myself and out of other people as well, because that's not really typical race distance. So yeah, it was just kind of like, go out and have fun, see what happens. And it was a pleasant surprise that I, even though I don't really do any track workouts or any kind of speed work in that sense, I still apparently have pretty good 3K leg speed.
Yeah. Well, Nicole, it was just super fun watching your race. Now, you didn't have any fails or retries. You ran both races completely clean, right?
Nope, no penalties, which was, yeah, definitely one of my goals.
So along with running a clean race, how important is it for just all of the little things to go right? And you know what I mean? Sometimes getting in the correct lane can make such a difference. Or for instance, I saw you on the like the G-Force zip line obstacle. And you know, there's that little lip that you kind of have to get over. A lot of folks get hung up there and then they eventually jerk it and finally get over. Many of them attempt to jump it as they're coming down, but very few actually do. I noticed you nailed that. So as you were zooming down, you were able to jump that lip and shave a few seconds off. So how cool is it for just those things to go right?
You know, I wouldn't say I was expecting to time it correctly on that particular obstacle, but it was definitely a nice surprise because I've done that before. That obstacle was at OCR Worlds last year, and there were two hops in it instead of just one. Like this time. So it definitely was more challenging to time it correctly at OCR World. But yeah, it was kind of a pleasant surprise to get that right. Because I did hear, tons of people were not. I think the obstacle that I was most pleased with was probably the yoke carry. I would not want to do it again, so I'm not pleased with it in that way. But I was kind of pleasantly surprised at how quickly I got through it. It was still very hard. Heavy carries are not my forte.
Yeah, you know, I've seen you post before that, you know, your opponents fear the day that you ever figure out how to carry heavy weights. I thought that was funny. And we heard several folks talk about that yoke was just a nightmare.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was 100 pounds is what I heard.
Really? Do you know how far y'all carried it?
I'm not sure. I just uploaded everything to Strava. And so somebody did actually make a segment for the yoke. Let's see. It says that it's 0.3 miles.
Well, I was wondering, you know, we know you have the Spartan program down.
Yeah.
But what about these obstacles that aren't necessarily in Spartan? Do you ever see other obstacles? Was there anything there you haven't seen before?
So this year, I really have just been doing Spartan races. Last year, I did try a couple of Savage races and did OCR World. But yeah, this year has just been Spartan. I would say the Rigs and Spartans and definitely like the Twister and Olympus, like that prepared me well for those kind of different rig style obstacles and things like Skyline, I think that's what it's called, and then Conquer the Gauntlet, Stairway to Heaven. It was actually at OCR World. But really just like the yoke, trying to think if there's anything else that was really different.
What do you think about Sandbag? I noticed the men and women were carrying the same weight. That's not normal, right?
No, I think that's the first time I've ever seen the men and women do the same weight, which I was a little hesitant going into the race if that was going to turn out well. But it's kind of cool to now be able to compare men's and women's races.
Yeah.
Like in Spartan races, there's times that I'll be in like the top 10 or the top 20, you know, when you factor in the men as well. And I still think like, oh, yay, like that's kind of cool that I'm up there. But really, if you think about it, you know, there is a weight difference between things, so you can't really compare that effort, whereas here you really can.
Right. Well, Nicole, I wanted to ask you a question based on something you recently posted, and you were just basically just saying that people perceive you as a dark horse, like they're surprised when you're in the top however many. Do you really feel that way? Because I think when people see your face or your name at a race, they know that you're one of their biggest threats. So do you really feel like the dark horse?
Yeah, you know, I think I had higher expectations for myself for how the season was going to go, and I saw it also coming off of last year, getting second at OCR World. I thought people might be a little bit more aware of, like, I don't know, I guess, yeah, like me being a competitor and being up there with the top girls. And so, to be called like a dark horse, I was like, come on, really? Like, I thought proven my ability.
But that's what I'm saying. Who's calling you that?
I think part of it was it might have been David Makita. And I think it's just like, you know, David and NBC, like they need to make a story out of the races. And so, I am relatively a dark horse coming into this year, especially when it comes to like the Spartan races, because I was only, I think, 11th or 12th at Worlds last year for Spartan. To go from that kind of placement to third at the first NBC race and then first at the second one, you know, that is still a pretty big jump. So I didn't want to give him too much of a hard time.
Yeah. Well, you know, and maybe you and Rhea and Alyssa and Faye, just a mixture of your age and all being new here in the last couple of years, maybe people didn't know what kind of expectations to have for all of y'all when the year started, but I can't imagine anyone calling you the dark horse now. I would think that's long gone. So were you hesitant about coming to this U.S. Championships, you know, being just a month out from OCR Worlds and Spartan Worlds? I figure a lot of folks would want to play it safe and not risk injury.
No, I had a blast at OCR Worlds, trying the different obstacles and just kind of doing something different and not having to worry about burpees. So it was definitely something that was immediately on my radar. I was definitely wanting to do it. I obviously don't want to race a ton before Worlds, because I do want to put some, you know, really solid weeks of training in. But this was kind of like almost just like a fun thing to do, just to come out with kind of no expectation, especially considering like the 3K was a race distance that I really hadn't seen before. So it was more just supposed to be a time to work on weaknesses, like running into obstacles really quickly, and then also have fun on new things.
So what now? Are you in taper mode yet, or are you still pushing hard?
I'll have another couple weeks of pretty consistent training and I'll still be building up my mileage and building up my long run, especially. But really not doing anything like majorly different. And then I will take a good, you know, week or more of easier things.
And what about obstacles? Are you focusing on or brushing up on anything specific right now?
Not in the sense of what most people think of obstacles. I would say the heavy carries still. That's what needs my attention still. But in terms of like the rig and the walls and Olympus, A-Painter, those obstacles, I feel pretty confident just having my climbing background. And that's something that, you know, I'll continue to climb several times a week and, you know, kind of bank on that being enough training.
Yeah. Well, what can you even do to improve heavy carries? I mean, is there any real strategy to it, or is it just about logging more miles with more weight?
You know, it's kind of just like getting used to picking two sandbags up or like one heavy one up, and just kind of getting used to like moving them around and having them in different positions and kind of trial and error, see what works, see what doesn't work, so that when I'm in the race and two of the bags fall down, I'm not there for several minutes thinking, what's the best way to carry these? Which kind of seems like a no-brainer that I should have been doing that in the first place. And I will say that I probably should have been doing that a long time ago, but it wasn't something that I was initially drawn to work on. I thought I can get by focusing on my developing my strengths more, and I'll just, you know, kind of power through those heavy carries that I kind of struggle with. But I reached a point in the season where they became too heavy, and it wasn't even possible for me to ignore it any longer.
Well, and I think it makes sense. You know, maybe you've just checked everything else off your list, and this is the fine tuning that you eventually get around to, you know, which I think speaks volumes to where you're at. We're talking to Nicole Miracle, who just recently won the USOCR championship, and we'll have Worlds coming up before you know it. Nicole, I just have one more serious question before we get into the fun stuff. How often do you think about your competition? And I mean putting a face to it. And I think of a CrossFit video I saw a long time ago of Matt Frazier. And as he works out in his garage, he has it written or carved on his wall, "What is Rich doing right now?" In other words, what is Rich Froning, my competition, doing? What about you? Do you ever wonder, okay, what is Lindsay working on? Where can I get an edge on Faye or Alyssa?
I'm definitely motivated by competition. So it's not that I don't think, what are my competitors doing? But when I'm preparing for a big race like Tahoe, I don't really find myself thinking like, what is Lindsay doing today? And, you know, should I be doing that? I really think more developing my strengths, working on my weaknesses, and just trying to get like the most out of my body, you know. And I wish all my competitors well, and I hope that they all stay healthy up into Tahoe, and I hope they have good races. But I just really want to put the work in, train smart, and be the better athlete on that day.
Yeah, sure. Well, you want to know that you at your best was better than them at their best. So yeah, you want everyone to come in at 100%.
Yeah.
Okay, Nicole, before we go, do people mispronounce your name as Miracle, like with an I?
Well, I really don't see that as like mispronouncing it, because that's kind of what it is. Like, yeah, Miracle, it's kind of all the same to me.
Okay, well, no, that works great, because we're going to play Know Your Miracle. I have a handful of Miracle-related questions. Let's see how many you get right.
All right.
All I Need Is a Miracle was a 1985 hit from Mike and the Blank. Who was it?
Oh, man.
1985 band.
I don't know that.
So do you give up?
Yeah, I don't know that answer.
That's Mike and the Mechanics. Now, do you remember that song? All I need is a miracle. All I need is you.
Yes, I remember that song, but I definitely don't know the band.
Okay, well, at least you know the song. I was starting to feel old. Okay, we're going to keep it old. In 1987, the words, "Do you believe in miracles?" became iconic in response to the U.S. Olympic victory in what sport?
Oh, man. I'm probably going to be really wrong, but I feel like there was a movie made about this, and was it like hockey?
It was hockey.
It was. Awesome.
Yeah, good job. All right, got another one for you. Every holiday season, many watch that classic Christmas movie, Miracle on Blank Street.
I think it's 28th Street. No.
It is a number?
It's not, it's a number. I don't know what number.
31st? No, I'm sorry. 34th Street.
34th.
Santa must not be visiting the rest of town. The miracle is on 34th Street. All right, let's see if we can end with a win. Still talking movies. Jennifer Garner played the mother of a sick child in recent years in Miracles from Blank.
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't watch enough movies.
And it's supposed to be based on a true story.
It's a true story?
It's supposed to be.
Really?
The kid was really sick, and then she falls out of a tree and is unexplainably healed. It's called Miracles from Blank.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's Miracles from Heaven. It's actually a pretty good movie, but a tearjerker. Fair warning. All right. Well, hey, you got what right, Nicole. Yeah, and I'm going to have to send you some of these movies as parting gifts.
Awesome.
All right. Well, we'd call your performance this year miraculous had you not worked so hard for it. But no, you deserve all the good that's happening for you. And good luck at Worlds.
Thank you so much.
Hills, ropes, rigs, barbed wire, miles, mud, blood, sweat, and tears. Some call it torture. Saturday. You're listening to the More Than Mudcast with Cooley.
Hey, you remember earlier I said I set up my tent in the middle of the night and then there was another tent fairly close to me. I didn't have a clue who it was. Well, the next day I found out it was Arnel Banawa. Now, if you've seen amazing OCR videos out there, well-produced, good production, well, that was probably Arnel's. He does amazing work. You may have seen his OCR Tube stuff. You need to look him up, OCR Tube on Facebook, Arnel Banawa. If you happen to be a race organizer and want to shine a good spotlight on what you guys are doing, you need to get Arnel involved. Also, Kian Lam was there handling some of the drone footage and some other film, too. In fact, I think he paced the course on Sunday morning. Anyway, check out Kian's stuff at whereandwander.com. That's WHERE and wander, WANDER.com. Kian has some great stuff. Man, I just really enjoyed getting to know those guys. And then, watching Margaret Schlachter work. We've known her from Mud Run Guide, but getting to kind of work behind the scenes with her and just seeing all the hats she wears, just super impressive. All that to say that the USOCR Championship had a super team. And of course, at the helm, Adrian Biginotta. It was late on Sunday, and I asked him if he was at a place where he could relax yet.
Getting there. You know, it's a pretty stressful few days. Thankfully, we have a really good team picking up the slack. Just under the last wave about 30 minutes ago. So once we get word that they've crossed some of the more complex areas of the course in terms of access and obstacles, then I'll feel pretty good.
So Adrian, putting on a race like this, you have to expect some things to go wrong, especially the inaugural year. But where is that threshold? What is the standard or that mark that you have to meet to say, okay, this was a success?
Our standards are pretty high. So like I've been telling the team, I give us a 6 out of 10 on this one. But I'm always pretty harsh with that. From what I understand, the athletes had a good time, which is great. They loved the course. Feedback around the volunteers were awesome, so thank you to them for being out there in the heat. I think it's just, you know, a few days from now when we sit back, do we get excited about it again? Do we keep getting feedback that suggests to us that we delivered the experience that we were aiming for? If we get that, then we're happy. You know? We don't want what we do to be just another race. That's not why we do it. And most of us are volunteers are working on this. And it's not worth doing unless it's different, innovative, and really changes people's lives.
And is it safe to say that you have your dream team here, from Bob taking pictures to Coach Payne, Margaret, Arnel, Michael Marks, Brett Stewart? Seems like you've acquired the best of the best at their given crafts.
Yeah, I mean, like, I have to tip my hat to Brett Stewart. You know, he took on this whole event. He's the race director for the event. He deserves, you know, the majority of the credit. And then, you know, what we do is we know what we're good at, we know what we're bad at, we fill the gaps. You know, Margaret's fantastic on media, Rachel Ann's fantastic on the customer service, the athlete services stuff. I have to give a huge amount of props to the whole build crew. Mark Ballas at Green Bray Challenge, the dude's been flying around this ranch, probably covering hundreds of miles on his ATV, and we just dispatch him to a problem, or he goes out there and builds obstacles. He does a great job of it. So, big props to them. Jerry Foreman at Terrain Race. I can honestly say that if he was not here with his crew and their kit supporting us, this event could have been a nightmare. So, very big props to them. Conquer the Gauntlet. They've obviously the big structure you see behind me. They've got Stairway to Heaven. We've got Hubi from Indian Mud Run with the feature obstacle at the finish line, which is enormous. We got LV from City Challenge out here. I want to make sure I don't miss anybody. Of course, we got Rec Bag, Force 5,
out here. But, you know, we've just got a lot of good people that, you know, really kind of believe in the event. They believe in the sport and each other, and we bang it out.
Can't say it enough. Had a great time at the USOCR Championships. I did notice on their Facebook account, they're wanting folks to weigh in on where they should host next year. And I know that means it probably won't be in Texas, and that's a bummer, too. I wanted to stay here for my own selfish reasons. Anyway, if you have an opinion on it, you might weigh in at their Facebook page. And since we're talking social media, hook a brother up, huh? Spread the word about the More Than Mudcast. If you like the show, maybe write a review on iTunes or share with your friends. Please consider subscribing and maybe even sending some suggestions on possible guests. Until next time, remember, everyone runs for a reason. So let your friends and family know it's more than mud. It's a movement.
Follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and at themudmovement.com.